Unfortunately, we were caught under a big surprise, like you guys had in September 11 on Pearl Harbor. And they butchered people, they killed children, they cut heads of children, they raped women, they kidnapped over 200 people. We lost over 1,400 people in one day. This is the worst day for the old Jewish people after the Holocaust in one. It's unbelievable.
Well, hello, friends. I am here with my friend, Shlomo Lifshitz. If you're going to have one friend in Israel, shouldn't his name be Shlomo Lifshitz? That's what I always tell people, Momo. Welcome. I'm so glad you're with me.
Thank you very much. Almost midnight in Israel.
So, as you will soon find out, my friend Momo is a servant-hearted teddy bear, but that teddy bear has some grizzly in him, and that grizzly has some teddy bear in him. And so, I love my friend Momo, and man, thank you so much for staying awake, especially with all that's going on. And I'm really looking forward to letting my friends get to know not just you, but to understand a perspective from a heroic friend of Israel and a man who loves his homeland, a little bit about what's been happening these last tragic few days. So thank you, Momo. Well, why don't we start just by giving them a little, you know, one of the things that I hope everybody's learning more about Israel, but one of the things that's true of Israel is that they're wise enough to have every young man and woman serve in the IDF, the Israel Defense Force, from the ages of 18 to 20 or 19 to 21?
Good evening, everybody. It's every Israeli need to be in the army, men for 3 years and boys for girls for 2 years, but it's mandatory.
And so Momo is just a little bit older than I am, and that will tell you that we have been around for 6 decades plus. Momo, you served more than the 3 years mandatory. How long did you serve within the IDF?
I served 10 years full duty, and then I served another 20 years as a reserve service.
Yes, but, and so inside that 10 years full duty, and then we'll talk a little bit about how I think you were called back up and while you are on the reserves, and how you decided to spend a few lovely months in Beirut, Lebanon in the 80s.
Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. And yes, you had a nice room. It was about the size of a tank, if I remember correctly, for many of those days. But Momo, one of the things I just want to do, just as my friends, Momo and I met because he was a gentleman that had a business in Israel that actually was involved with bringing many Jewish Americans over to understand, and not just Jewish Americans, but Jewish people from all over the world that would come through what's called the Birthright Program, that Momo would lead really them on tours to understand some of the heritage of Israel and some of what it means to be a Jew and why they should care about this little tract of land that so many Jews had begun to settle in and live in. And we're going to talk a little bit about the history of Israel in the midst of all this and why some of this conflict continues to go on. But I will say this today, as Momo has now moved away from working with the Birthright Program, he actually continues now to welcome not just his Jewish brothers and sisters, but also some Gentiles like me to come over and to lead tours throughout Israel. He's got a business called Israel for You. And that let me just give him that website right now, Momo. I think that's really important. So Israel, the number four, you, the letter U. And so go to israelforyou.com and you can find out more how you can take groups of folks to come over and see the Holy Land. Momo and I were just talking for the few seconds we had before we went live here, you know, in this podcast to talk about how I want to get over there right now. And so we would encourage you to begin to make plans right now because Israel will not always be at war. And it's a great land to visit because you'll get to meet amazing friends like I have in Israel and get to see the land that if you're like me and believe that it's the land that God himself walked in, then you'll have an amazing time with Momo and the tour guides that he will set you up with getting to know a little bit more about that land. I hope I get to go even with you. We'll talk more about that as we go, but Israel for You. Check it out, all right, .com. So Momo, that's what you're doing right now a little bit with your time, but let's talk about the times that we're in. So let me just be quiet for a second, and I'll ask questions off of you sharing a little bit about what it's been like to live in Israel these last 2 weeks and the 6 decades before it and how we got to these 2 weeks. So why don't you lead us for a while?
Okay, so first of all, to be in Israel, to live in Israel is an unbelievable feeling. It's a great place for a reason why this is the Holy Land, because this is a gorgeous place to be at. From time to time, our neighbors, which, by the way, as a joke, but I hope to make it happen, I'm willing to give you all my neighbors for free, because you guys have Canadian and Mexicans, and we have people who are basically Nazis or ISIS, and basically want to kill everybody who is not like them. Unfortunately, we were caught under a big surprise, like you guys had in September 11 on Pearl Harbor, and we were caught like unbelievable under surprise, and thousands of terrorists actually captured 11 kibbutzim, which is a way to live in Israel. Small communities that are in a way sharing everything almost. And they butchered people, they killed children, they cut heads of children, they raped women, they kidnapped over 200 people. We lost over 1,400 people in one day. This is the worst day for the old Jewish people after the Holocaust. It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, unbelievable. But
yeah, so just to give people a sense of scale, you know, 9/11, we lost a couple of thousand Americans and people in the World Trade Towers, and there's 330 million Americans. And so they lost just 800 fewer people than that on October 7th in an instant. And they don't have 330 million people living
in
that land.
It's basically, with the amount of population in America, in the States, as if you lost 45,000 people in one day. Just imagine it. So everybody in Israel is shocked, was angry. And we asked all our army to go to come to service. And our friends, the terrorists from the Gaza Strip, still sending missiles to Israel. But I live in a suburbia of Tel Aviv. In the last 2 weeks, I only asked twice by siren to go to the safe room, because we have safe rooms in our houses. We call it Mamad. So it's a built with concrete. But other than that, I'm going to work every day. Only the area surrounding Gaza Strip, which is a very small and poor place, is now full of, called now closed army area, and it's packed with soldiers. But other than that, I don't want to say life is normal, which is not true, but let's say 50% normal. And but we are strong people, and because we are forever first in line, we're going to win this battle for the free world. And this is second time that England and the United States are joining forces, maybe third time, to fight evil. The first time was the Second World War. The second time was ISIS. And now the new ISIS, even worse than ISIS, Hamas. And we're going to win, because we must win for the free world. They ate me as a Jew, exactly as they ate you as Christians. Maybe out of 2.3 million people, they have maybe, okay, they don't have any Jew, that's a given, but they have maximum 1,000 Christians living there.
Well, let me, yes, I think in Gaza specifically, less than 0.1% of the 2.2 million live there are Christian.
1,000.
Yeah, so, yeah. And so in Israel, just to equate, I think less than 0.5% would consider themselves evangelical Christian. But it, you know, this, let me just say this, this is so important for people to understand. What's happening right now, which is a full and right response to the terrorist acts of Hamas that happened on October 7th, we're going to talk a little bit about, and I might even more after you and I are done, because I don't want to keep you up too late, but I want people to hear from a friend who lives there now like you. But what happened and the right response, the full militaristic response, which is this is not a time for de-escalation to happen right now. People that are talking for a ceasefire and for de-escalation, this is a time for decimation. This is a time for an appropriate sort of justice to be executed against those who did what they did on October 7th. And that's not because of Genesis 12:3. It's not because of Arab and Jew. It's because anytime a people adopts those kind of acts of horror, they deserve a full and severe response. Now, I would encourage my friends, if you're not already following me on the T-H-E remnantnews.org, not remnant news, that's something else, the remnantnews.org, you can go and read a biblical response to the last 12 days. But I want to get back to the response that Momo's talking about. One of the things, Momo, you know, a lot of folks are not up to speed on Israel. One of the things that people don't realize, because you hear about the Jews being committed to ethnic cleansing and they don't want anybody to be in the land but them. Would you just explain to people that Jews and Arabs live peaceably right now, today, in Israel, and Jews don't hate Arabs? I'm going to quote Golda Meir here, and then I'm going to let you respond to what I just said. Golda Meir, one of your former prime ministers, was famous for saying that if the Arabs or Hamas wasn't around then, but if the PLO, the radical Islamist, laid down their guns, there would be peace. But if Israel laid down their guns, there would be no Israel. So I want you just to explain to people for a second the reality of 20% of Israel, 20% of the nation is Arab. Explain that to people.
You know, we are a very small little country that was established 75 years ago. Altogether, there are a little bit under 10 million citizens in Israel. Out of them, 2 million are non-Jews, mostly Arab Muslims, but also Christians, Baha'is, Turks, Bedouins, Druze, you name them. Everybody can pray, everybody feel free, everybody can do whatever they want. We have churches and mosques and shrines. Everybody can live in full freedom. That's very simple. But I want to tell you, if you want me, I'm going to give you an example so people in America will understand. There is a city that I love very much called San Diego in South California. On the other side of the border, there is a city called Tijuana in Mexico, and the distance between both of them is 18 miles. I want you guys to imagine what would happen to Tijuana if from Tijuana 10 rockets will come to San Diego. What you guys will do. So imagine we got in the last 12 days 7,000 rockets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is why, Momo, it's so important for people to understand picking sides, and there's a lot of history for folks to go back and read and understand why this tract of land was initially, or for a season, called Palestine, why today it's a nation state called Israel, what the green zone is, what the buffer regions are, how Gaza came to be. There's a lot of history there that we can't all cover in this particular moment. But to Momo's point, take aside all the history. If any of you live someplace where somebody that you want to live peaceably with, whose entire purpose of existence is to eradicate you, starts to shoot missiles into your homeland, starts to do terroristic acts against your people, how would you respond? And that's why you need to have, I think, empathy for and support right now the nation of Israel's response to what has recently happened through Hamas down there in the Gaza Strip area. And frankly, then is being supported by Hezbollah up north right now in Lebanon, which is potentially going to involve other nations around the world. Momo, just for a second, just to let people know that this isn't just a news story for you. Something like this happened in 48, 67, 73, and then again in the early 80s, this group of people who Jordan, The nation of Jordan, just to your east, did not want to really welcome into their citizenship, and they became, some of them, displaced people, and they pushed themselves up north into Lebanon. And then they started to, back in 1980, 81, shoot some rockets from the north into Israel. That caused Israel in the 80s to respond to that. And like you said, you lived for 2 years up there. Explain to folks what those 2 years were like as you defended your nation against individuals who weren't really welcome in Jordan, who were leaving this area in what's called today the West Bank, which is so hard for people to understand. The West Bank is on the eastern side of Israel. It's the West Bank of the Jordan, which is eastern Israel. But they got pushed up to Lebanon, and they didn't want to be there. Talk about that experience that you had in Lebanon.
People need to understand the size, because the size is the joke. Between the Mediterranean Sea and our main business city called Tel Aviv, and our capital, Jerusalem, we're speaking about 40 miles. Go to the east, to the Jordan River, you're speaking about another 25 miles. So with 65 miles, you are between the Mediterranean Sea and Jordan River, where Qasr el-Ya'ud is the most important baptized site. When, according to some beliefs, this is where Israelites came into the Holy Land. If you go from there to Rabat Ammon, the capital of Jordan, it's another half an hour drive. So it's all small. Between Tel Aviv and the border with Lebanon, you're speaking about 75 miles. Between the border with Lebanon and Beirut, the capital of Lebanon, another 70 miles. So it's all petite. It's all small, small, small. So, you know, the size of Texas is 35 times bigger than the size of all Israel. Only Texas.
Yeah, so that's right, because Israel itself is about half the size of the state of New Jersey. The distance, just to give some people who understand Texas as an example, between Tel Aviv and Beirut is the distance from Waco to Dallas. The distance from Tel Aviv, which is on the western Mediterranean seaport of Israel, to Amman, which is, you know, my friend told you is the capital of Jordan, is about the same distance. Now, you mentioned from Tel Aviv to the Jordan River, if you just go straight across, did you say, Momo, roughly you're going to say it's 60 miles? Is that correct?
65 miles, 70 miles.
Yeah. Well, what people don't understand too is that about 50 of those miles are the West Bank, right? Biblically ancient Samaria and Judea, parts of it that today Israelis don't even really, they don't occupy. That's another piece that is inhabited by Palestinian people that, by and large, Israel lets them govern themselves in that region, right?
Todd, I think we're giving the people too much information to digest in one.
All right,
I want to go something to speak about emotions and feelings. I'm 67 years old, or maybe 67 years young. I don't hate the Palestinians. I don't. To be honest, I wish them only the best. I wish the salary, they have 50% unemployment in Gaza. They for those who make money, they make $350 a month. This is the salary. So when I've been to Lebanon, we did not come with aid. We don't aid. We kind of army that don't aid. We don't have fun killing. We do what we need to do, but enjoying it, it's not us. It's against our thinking. It's everybody's human being. Todd and I call him brother. He calls me brother. You know, it's like, yes, we don't share the same exact religious belief, but we are good people.
Yeah, let's just tell people that, Momo. This is important for us to know. So I believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. Momo, you would even call yourself a bit of a secular Jew. Is that a fair statement?
No, I'm a little traditional Jew.
You're Jewish.
No, I'm not Jewish. I'm a good Jew. I'm a proud Jew. But before everything, Todd, you and I, we're good people. We care for good for the world. We want people to have fun, to have good life. No matter if you're Jew, Muslim, or Christian, we don't. You don't care. So when I've been to Lebanon, I want you to know, even there, the amount of Christians, there used to be like three minorities in Lebanon. Christians, Druze, and Muslims. Every year, the amount of Christians in Lebanon is going down, 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 because one of the big wings of the spider called Iran is Lebanon, with his aunt called Hezbollah. And I'm telling my American friends, stop watching Hollywood films about war. There is nothing nice in war, I will tell you. The smell of war is disgusting. People dies in war. Innocent people sometimes dies in war. And we Israelis, we hate war more than everything you can imagine. We want to live in peace. But these people, their agenda, butcher the Jews. Not the Israelis. They want to kill us all. Thanks God, it's not going to happen.
They just, again, so people know, I said earlier, gold in my ears quote about what would happen if, the Palestinians or the jihadists laid down their arms, what would happen if Israel did. But there's been basically the position of the Islamic Brotherhood, ISIS, Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran, a lot of the jihadists, they would say, listen, there's no peace with Israel. There's no reconciliation, or there's no recognition of Israel, and there is no negotiation with Israel. Israel has consistently made land concessions, and every time they have, it's not led to more peace. So it's really important that you listen to what my friend just said. Israel would love to figure out a way to live at peace with their neighbors, but there are some people who believe it will never live at peace with them because their perception is that the land's been stolen, that they're imperialists, that they don't want to live at peace with them. And you just have to, you've got to learn to read and understand history and go back and not just take sound bites that you hear, but listen to what my friend just said. 20% of the current state of Israel is made up of non-Jewish individuals. And they live at peace with one another. Now, Momo did explain to you, people that live in Palestine, in the Green Zone, in Gaza, they live in a very different world. They don't have passports. They don't have the freedom to come and go. I mean, thousands of them do, but not hundreds of thousands, not millions of them. And we, every time we're there, we talk about what's the best way to be helpful to the Palestinian people. But from Israel's perspective, until they're willing to prosecute evil alongside of Israel and to eradicate jihadists and not support Hamas, not support Hezbollah, they can't welcome them because they exist to destroy Israel. That's what their leadership would tell them. So, but again, Momo, with your permission, one of the things I'll attach to this, and we'll put a link at the bottom so folks can get it, that little PDF you sent out that showed some of these maps that we're talking about. Do I have your permission to share that?
Yes, of course. But I want to say something before that, before you're doing it. You need to understand, all the electricity coming to Gaza Strip coming from Israel. All the drinking water they drink in Gaza Strip coming from Israel. Mm-hmm. 27,000 people coming every day to work in Israel. They like Israel, and there are 31 Muslim countries. And we, small country, need to take care of these people, and that in return, that's what they're giving us. You know, the tone now in Israel, closing everything. If the world want to take care of them, go for it. None of our business anymore. Nobody's coming in, no electricity, no water, none of our business. We don't want to take care of them. And yes, Todd, you, of course you can show it because it's explaining how this problem become to, so big. And thanks God, America, I'm telling you, every Israeli will go. You see my. I'm putting on my terrace. I put some flags.
I've enjoyed a meal there with you. That's very nice.
My patio, and I'm about to buy tomorrow an American flag, and I'm going to put the American flag because we Israelis say thank you, America, for the support we have. We say thank you, God bless America. It's really unbelievable.
Well, Momo, I tell people all the time who go, is it safe to go to Israel? I go, is it safe to go to downtown Dallas? Is it safe to, you know, the answer is yes. I mean, right now, you probably don't want to be hanging down there by Ashkelon and just off the border of Gaza, but that's no Israelis are down there. The Israeli Defense Force is right now, but yes, Israel is a tremendously safe place. I mean, if I was going to get sick anywhere but America, I'd want to get sick in Israel because of the excellence of medical care and just the goodness of the people.
And the friendship of the and the people are very friendly and welcoming. I think this is the most American-loving country in the world.
Well, and it's part of the reason that some of the enemies of Israel hate America so much. They see us as the big brother that's protecting them. That's why you guys are Satan. We're the great Satan. Right.
Yes.
And you can't negotiate with people whose entire purpose is to eradicate and destroy you. And Israel, I will just tell you, I've been there. And listen, is it fair to say, Momo, that not everybody who lives in Palestine or lives in Gaza wants and wishes that the things that Hamas wants? There are people that are victims living in Gaza. Yes. Would you agree with that?
I will agree with that for sure. But the problem is, 50% of the population in Gaza is under the age of 18. 50%. Mm-hmm. And the schools, the way they eat or drink mother's milk with aid of Israel. This is what they give them from day one to aid Jews, to aid Israel. So you need a generation of new education and to tell people, hey, this is people who give you the water. This is people who give you the electricity and work and money. Because if you come to work in Israel, you cannot get less than $1,500 a month. This is the minimum salary you can get here.
So, Momo, keep going. Keep telling people things that you wish the world knew about Israel, about the state that they're currently in, about why the response that the world is watching happen right now is both justified and necessary. More about the plight of the Palestinian people, why there's these things called green zones. Just keep educating people.
Listen, one of the biggest problems in the world today is lack of knowledge. And one of the source of knowledge is the media. And see what happened 2 days ago when a missile went by one of the Islamic jihadic organization fall into a parking lot of an hospital in Gaza and killed, we know now, something around 150 people. And of course, automatically Hamas said 500 people were butchered by Israelis.
Who bombed the Gaza hospital intentionally. Yeah.
All channels, almost all of them said, automatically repeat this wording. The biggest one is BBC in London. That's like going worldwide. Like still now do not want to admit, yes, we made a mistake. But the world is like on us differently than other people in the world. We, in a way, not supposed to protect ourselves. But this time,
I do think that worm is turned a little bit in this particular conflict. But just yesterday in the United States of America, you know, so we're filming this on what is today? It's October 19th. It just tripped over to October 20th where you are right now. Thanks for staying up with us. But, you know, yesterday our Capitol was filled with, I think, I forget the name of them, the Peaceable Jews or something that were protesting the current war and demanding a ceasefire. It was a catastrophe in our capital, in the way that it's okay for people to protest, but it was insane the way that happened in light of the way we've been concerned about other people who flooded our capital in the past. But
the problem is what's happening in the campuses. Campuses in America, and I've been to the States over 100 times. I visited many, many, many campuses in America. Mm-hmm. And campuses in America, they are like organization called Free Palestine. And they make demonstration. Free Palestine? We want to free Palestine. We Israelis. Free Palestine. We want you to have great life. We want you to have fun. I'm telling you, the beach in Gaza can be better than Cancun. Hmm. Even better than Punta Cana. Hmm. But instead of that, they're building missiles. Mm-hmm. And hate. And blood. We do not like the war. You need to understand, guys, I cannot teach you everything from the history of this country. But we do not love war. We hate the fighting. We want peace more than any. Our religion does not allow us to go to war. And we don't want to conquer everyone. And nobody. We don't care. Live and let live. That's what we want. You're speaking about a small island of democracy, of freedom, hub of a huge innovation, high-tech, unbelievable. Like, you know, the cherry tomatoes you guys eat were born in Israel. The Navigator ways that you all use were born in Israel, and million other stuff. We want to deliver wisdom to the world. Instead of that, we need to, what can I tell you? It's like,
yeah.
And I'm telling you again, thank you, America, for the support. And Todd, your friendship means a lot to me personally, because we are friends like over 20 years already. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you that all America, thank you, America, for what you guys are doing.
Well, Momo, thank you for joining us. We'll continue. I'll continue to have conversations with folks while we let you go and let you get some rest. I pray that the sirens don't go off tonight
no.
Where you live. Momo lives about 5, 6, 8 miles north of Tel Aviv, and he's out on his patio tonight to catch rockets and to talk to us. So thank you very much, my friend.
Bye, Todd. Bye, everybody. And God bless America. God bless you, Todd.
Shalom. God bless Shalom. You. See you, friend. Okay, so as I let my friend Momo go, we'll just continue part of the conversation that we're having. I mean, there was a lot of information that was given there. I want to say to you again, Momo, a number of days ago, sent me a little link, a little PDF that he put together, just sharing some of his heart and how he does want peace with his neighbors. Israel is in a position where, as it seeks to have peace with its neighbor, the problem is there are some of its neighbors that have committed to no peace, no recognition, and no negotiation. And so what they've tried to do is, as long as that's the position of the power structures that are in the regions surrounding them, is they have cordoned them off, and they've put buffer zones, and they have put security fences up, and they do limit the Palestinians who live there ability to leave that region. It's not just Israel. Egypt does it to the south of Gaza. They cut off the border with Egypt there in Gaza. Jordan doesn't let people come and go freely from the green zone there, and what we call with Samaria and Judea. If you look at the maps that we're going to, again, have linked down below, you can see some of that, and certainly up north where Lebanon is and into Syria and the other surrounding nations. As far as Israel being a land that's trying to be imperialistic and take land, just look at a map. I mean, just literally, I think Google, you know, Arab states and Israeli or Jewish states or democracies, and you'll see that in a region that goes all the way from Morocco and the northern parts of Africa, sweeping all the way across through Jordan into Syria and down to Iraq and Iran and sweeping through Saudi Arabia back up through Egypt, you'll see half the size of New Jersey, a little red dot that represents you know, democracy, and then you'll see a different kind of governmental structure surrounding all of where Israel is. So I think, you know, one of the things that I do want to add right here before we maybe just end this part of the conversation and move to others, is, you know, it's very dangerous in this particular moment for folks to just come at it sometimes with a mindset out of Genesis 12:3. I see a lot of well-meaning people who say we're supporting Israel today because God said in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. That's a much longer theological conversation. But I just want to just say a couple of things, as is evidenced by my friend that I was just speaking with, who is my friend and my brother. He doesn't share my faith, right? He wouldn't even call himself an Orthodox Jew. Momo would say, I don't eat pork and things like this. He remembers the high holy days with his family. But most of Israel that is there today doesn't even practice Judaism. And they certainly don't practice following Christ. They're not Christ followers. A very small percentage of Israel is. When Genesis 12:3, when it talks about, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, that really is a statement to believing Israel. The Israel that exists today is not believing Israel. It's largely a secular country. And they want to live at peace with, as you heard him say, there's Druze, which is a syncretistic religion that adopts a little bit from Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Christians, Muslims all live. You hear the Muslim call to prayer in Israel every day, morning and evening. You don't find temples in Gaza. And you don't find, you know, evangelical churches thriving externally. There's some Christians that are there in Gaza, but it's not the same thing. But this idea, we're not defending Israel's right to defend itself today because of Genesis 12:3. We're defending Israel's right to defend itself today because of what Momo just said to you. We believe San Diego should defend itself against marauding forces and rockets that come in from Tijuana. And by the way, if a bunch of Americans from San Diego go over and rape and pillage and destroy and burn up Tijuana and shoot rockets from our militaristic strength into Tijuana, I would support Tijuana and the world's right to respond against San Diego. You have to understand what is happening today in Israel, and our support of Israel is our support of justice. It's a much more complicated question about, well, what are these people to do? They're desperate. They feel oppressed. They feel locked up. That's a longer conversation. But what happened on October 7th with the killing of civilian innocents cannot be tolerated. And if people want to say, we've got to come up a solution for the Palestinian people, I would say, come on, let's get a solution together. And before you start to say Israel doesn't want a solution, do your homework. There has been numerous efforts for solutions that have been attempted by Clinton, by Obama, by Trump, and by Biden, and others before them. But right now, the position of the leadership of the Palestinian people is no peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, and no negotiation with Israel. It's hard to make peace with San Diegoans, Tijuanaans, Gaza Stripans, and Israelis, anybody that would adopt that position. Our support today of Israel is our support of good, not just because they're Israeli, but because of what currently is happening with their neighbors. So we're glad you joined us for this little conversation. If you have any questions, you can fire it down there and we'll do our best in ways to communicate with you. Read theremnantnews.org. Hit the link to Momo's 8-page. It kind of walk you through a little of the history, and you'll even see his heart right there and his desire to have peace with his neighbors. But we're glad we got to spend this time with you, and look forward to be with you again soon.